KNBR's Giants postgame. You're talking baseball with Marty Lurie on The Sports Leader.
All right, well, we are going to be having a pregame pretty soon. Bill is going to be handling that postgame, Bill, and I can't wait to hear you do it. It's going to be terrific to hear it. I can't wait.
Well, I'm definitely excited for it, Marty, and I know you and I will both be doing a little pre and post, and we'll be definitely talking about Juan Rodas on holding up those runners when they should have scored, so I can't wait to talk about that, Ron.
Well, can I blame the cardboard cutouts for telling me to send them when it gets thrown out?
All right, boy, this is gonna be something, Woe. This is gonna be something. But look, we got baseball, and let's hope it's healthy and it works. We all need it. We all need it.
Right.
Yeah. All right, Richie Aurelia, good solid hitter. Woe, defensively, what did he mean to the ball club, Richie Aurelia?
Well, you know, you mentioned Richie, and I have to go back to when I first saw him. And that's when I was managing the Shreveport Captains, and he was a Tulsa driller. And I believe it was 94. Was that the strike year, Bill? I think it was 94 or 95.
94.
But nonetheless, you know, that's where I first saw him. And boy, did he take a hack. I mean, he was just a young kid, and he rolled that pole. It's so much so, my nickname for him was Babe Aurelia, because every swing he was going for the downs. And I think Richie probably fell down several times in his career on taking a cut. But the thing that stood out, he had great hands and a shortstop arm with arm strength and an accurate arm. And I always liked him from the other side of the field. And then when the strike year came about, we had, you know, Bob Lillis and those guys came through and had a chance to look at players. And we had that trade for Burkett. And here we go. We acquired Rich Aurelia and Desi Wilson, and I think it was Terrell Lowry, but he was always one of my favorites. And of course, then I had him in the minor leagues in Double A, you know, him and Bill Miller and Marvin Bernard and Doug Mirabelli in Shreveport, and you know, they made me a winning manager. And so he was a special player for me because I had him in the minor leagues, Double A, Triple A, and then at the big league level. And you know, Richie really developed and made himself an outstanding ball player. I mean, he meant a lot to the San Francisco Giants. An offensive shortstop, what him and Jeff Kent did in the middle of the diamond for us, I mean, that was unprecedented. And he had some great years. But, you know, he was always as steady as they come, great hands. And, you know, his fielding percentage was always the top of the league. And I'd be remiss, I'm going on and on, but I love Richie so much. And, Bill, you work with him. I got so much history with him. But I would like to say this as well, that you know, even at the end of his career, he made the adjustment he needed to make, and he made himself a very valuable and outstanding utility player. When he wasn't playing every day, remember he went to Cincinnati, he played third, he played short, and he played second, and he made that transition like a pro. And just love Richie.
Boy, Ronnie, you know, you say class act, and I can't say it any better than that. When he played, he was a class act. He always hustled, always worked hard. His great year in 2001, where he had over 200 hits, 37 home runs. I was looking at some of the numbers here. All-star, silver slugger, 97 RBIs. He did take a hack, and he swung for the fences a lot when he had an opportunity to it. And, you know, analyzing games with him, there were certain times where he said, he's got to be swinging for the home run. He's got to be trying to hit the ball out of the park here. Don't go for the single. Go for the big home run. And you're right. I remember him taking some hacks and going down on one knee, and his stellar play at shortstop. He wasn't, you know, that quick like an Omar Vizquel, but he got to the ball. And I always remember those slow rollers coming to him where he had to bare hand it and throw to first base, which is one of the hardest balls for shortstops, and he made it so easy. First interleague grand slam in a major league history against the Angels, and just a guy that played with a lot of good players. And he was probably one of the best.
Boy, great report on him. Good teammate, dear friend of Dave Roberts, Red Stitch Winery. They have that winery together. And he's from Brooklyn. Well, once I heard that, come on, he's from Brooklyn. I know the guy's a ball player.
Well, Marty, you know what? You're from Brooklyn, Richie's from Brooklyn, and my mom's from Brooklyn. So, yes, you're right. A lot of great people from Brooklyn. But I was going to mention the great job he does on the Red Stitch wine as well. And, you know, one last thing is another guy that worked for us, Randy Wynn. Mm-hmm. So we had Dave Roberts, Rich Aurelia, and Randy Wynn. And they were the Rat Pack. That's who we called them, the Rat Pack. Those three guys right there. And I'll tell you what class acts all of those guys were. I actually threw BP to their hitting group. And all year long I threw BP. And at the end of the season, these guys were nice enough to all buy me a beautiful bottle of wine and present it to me for thanking me for the BP during the season. And that's never been done before. So I appreciated that out of those three fine gentlemen.
Boy,
very good.
I tell you what, Ron, that's three a trifecta. Every one of those guys, class act, on and off the field, and how they speak to you, how they come up to you, interchange with you, a good firm handshake, and of course you can't do that now, but those are three guys that always had a smile on their face, never had attitudes, and of course working with Randy and Rich, the knowledge of the game that comes out of them when they speak is just top notch.
Yeah, special people. They were winners. And as I say, when you're a winner on the ball field later on, you're a winner in life like you guys are. And I think it shows with those three. All right, how about Sergio Romo, Sergio Romo.
Well, Sergio, now this guy, I'll tell you what, he got the most out of his ability. I'll say that right up front. This guy has guts. He has nerves of steel. And he had an unhittable slider for the Giants. And you know what? We wouldn't have been as successful as we were without him. You know, he really filled a huge void for us as a late inning relief pitcher with that slider he had. Then when we didn't have the closer, he took over the closer role, and he just did a tremendous job. You know, he was a little bit unique, obviously, in the clubhouse. You know, he was a little bit different in the way he lived and his attitude and all that, but always had a smile on his face, loved to play the game of baseball, and was one of the best pitchers that we've had on that field. And he's still going, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. With his size and his frame, with that slider, has carried him so far. Huh, Bill? What do you think about what he's been able to accomplish over his career?
Well, if anybody's going to call somebody a sinker slider, Sergio Romo definitely fits in that category because his sinker was just as good as his slider. And I loved hitters saying it was a no-dot slider, which means that spin was spinning so quick. And his arm slot really showed where that slider was so unhittable, the way it broke down, it could break sideways. And I'm right there with you, Ron. I don't think the Giants would have been anywhere without Sergio Romo in the bullpen. 9 years he was with the Giants, and one of the things that always caught me is that he had good control. It seemed like he always got in there 0-1, 0-2, and that's what Sergio did. He came right at you, and I'll never forget the Detroit series. He pitched so well in that four-game sweep, and, of course, he was on the field, on the mound, when they won the World Series with you, Ron, and I think Sergio Romo will stand in with one of the greatest relievers the Giants had.
Yep, and guts.
Yeah.
To me, that's what I think of, guts and just nerves of steel. And I'll go back to Cincinnati, and was it the Jay Bruce at Batwell? You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I'll never forget it. And that this little guy on the mound throwing that one pitch, that was it. And he got away with it. He was that good, and he's still going. So, yeah, you're right. Very special guy to the championship teams for the Giants. Very special. Very special.
Yeah.
All right.
You're exactly right, Marty. I mean, it's amazing the career that he's had. And, you know, he always had a smile on his face. And he left his mark with his song, too, his walk-up song, didn't he? Remember the song he had?
Mel Chong was it?
I don't know what it's called, but maybe Raph can play it for us on the way out.
Okay. Raph, no, I think it was El Melchone or something like that.
Yeah.
Is that it? All right, Raph, you could play it on the way out for us. But, he was
else. You know, Marty and Ron, he was really one of the first relievers with Tampa Bay that got starts. He got five starts with the Tampa Bay team. And that was really when they started using, you know, the bullpen as a committee and using a fifth starter as a bullpen guy. And I'll never forget when he first said, "I can't believe I started. I went one inning."
It took him a little while to get used to pitching against the Dodgers, because wasn't his father a Dodger fan or something? And
yeah.
Remember he used to have trouble in L.A. I remember that early on. Then he sort of overcame it.
Yeah, for a guy that had such poise on the mound, he was a little high-strung, emotional. You know, he really cared. He was really, committed. But the thing that Bill said that really is the key was his command. And he was such a weapon. You think about our bullpen, and whenever you had a couple right-handed hitters that couldn't hit a breaking ball, I remember Hairston with San Diego. He used to hit some home runs off us. But Sergio was as good as any closer we had when you matched him up against the right guys, because guys just could not hit his slider. It had that bigger, slower break, and he was such a weapon. When he went out there against certain guys, you knew they weren't going to get a hit.
Mm-hmm. Unforgettable,
yeah.
Because you knew it was coming. Mm-hmm. Well, very good.
Yep.
Well, this is a great segment of our show. I know a lot of people like it. And I want to say one other thing before we go, before I forget. Well, you know, the people, the frontline people, the doctors and nurses and people who are going to be working with you guys, and we know them, Dr. Murray and Scott Hansen and Nakazuki and the whole crowd, you know, they're right in the middle of it, and you got to commend these guys. They got to be ready to go.
Well, no doubt about it. It takes, you know, the whole organization to pull this thing off. I mean, Dave Greshner and his staff have been working real hard. They were down in Scottsdale with that facility open. Now they're here. There's so many protocols in place. I mean, Major League Baseball has put out a great video for us to watch. Of course, we have the, you know, 100-plus pages to read through. But the trainers have to implement this, the doctors. And it's going to be an ongoing thing and an education to the players. So the better we do this, the better it's going to be for us, because we need to stay safe. I mean, you think about guys like Mike Murphy walking around in the clubhouse, and, you know, managers like Dusty Baker. I spoke to him 2 days ago. He's down in Houston. And, you know, it's the COVID is very, very bad there right now. And, you know, not everybody's wearing masks. So there's a lot of concern in the safety measures. We need to be very vigilant with all this. And as you said, Marty, you know, the doctors, the training staff, and everybody involved at the stadium, it's going to be very important, and we need everybody.
Mm, well said. Well
hey, Ron,
said.
Are they going to let you take a shower?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, a lot of the verbiage in the protocol, it's nothing's mandated, you know, it's strongly discouraged, you know, so we could take a shower. It's discouraged, just like a lot of things are discouraged, but it's going to be left up to us. So we'll see how that all shakes out. And so I do need to shower once in a while, Bill, just for the record.
Well, you're going to be showering in the players' parking lot. I mean, they got showers all over the place.
So just put a bar of soap out there in the bay. If it's not too cold, we'll jump in.
All right. Well, great show, guys. You guys do a great job. We'll leave it with this one. 2001. I love these things. Not known for being a base thief during his playing days, Pittsburgh manager Lloyd McClendon ejected for arguing a close play in the team's eventual 7-6, 12-inning come-from-behind victory over the Brewers at PNC Park literally steals first base. I told him, first base umpire Rick Reed, he wasn't using it, so I thought I'd take it, explains the Bucs skipper after pulling the bag out of the ground and carrying it into the Pirates' dugout. How about that?
Yeah, I remember that, Marty. I mean, I certainly followed Lloyd McClendon getting that job. I interviewed for two jobs in my career, and he got the managing job after me both during that interview with Pittsburgh years ago when he took over in Pittsburgh, and that, you know, that followed there, and then in Seattle when I interviewed there, and he ended up getting the job there as well. But I always followed Lloyd. I remember that day. I remember that scene, and very animated. And, you know, we miss that stuff, don't we? I think yourself, Marty, and Bill, I'm sure we saw it over the years with managers. And, you know, it adds a little color to the game, and we don't get to see that very often anymore.
No.
And I was going to say that, Ron. That's what we're missing. We miss those manager tirades, you know, to get in that umpire's face. The Earl Weavers, the Billy Martins, those are the great ones. And the first thing that I can remember just, you know, pretty close was Wally Backman, seeing him in the minor leagues. I saw a clip on him a couple of weeks ago, and it probably happened years ago, where he just took everything away. He took the balls out of the bag. He threw the bats on the field, took all the bases off, covered up home plate. And it was just, it was one thing after another. I'm like, when's he going to stop? And he never stopped until they literally threw him right out of the field. But that, those were fun times. You fired up your team, and it made baseball the way it was. And you just don't see that anymore.
No, and that cost him a job with the Mets and the White Sox, I think, because remember he was considered a little too crazy.
Yeah.
Wally Backman. Well, guys, it's Saturday night. I want you to enjoy your Saturday night, and I appreciate it. As I said, next Saturday for me, it's noon to 3, so you guys, we'll talk during the week and see if maybe we can pre-tape something for next Saturday. But, well, good luck to you, and stay healthy and get it going. And I think the fans got a good view of what's ahead for the ball club from you tonight. And Bill, I appreciate your efforts. And I look forward to having you on a little bit with me on the pregame. And you're going to have to find me for the postgame. You're going to have to find me for that one. But
all I can say is, Ron, be safe and be smart. And let's see how baseball wakes up. And all the best to you, Ron. And I'm sure we'll be talking down the road here, too. And Marty, I'll see you next Saturday. I'll listen to you, and I'll be on with you. So
good.
Mark me in there for next Saturday. And, Ron, we'll be keeping our eyes on you, big fella.
All right, guys. Well, thank you. It was great being with both of you. And you guys keep up the good work. You got games to talk about now. So that should be great for you guys and certainly the fans.
All right. Have a good night, Woe. Bill, you too. Thank you.
All right.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Raph, you can play a little of that background music if you want as we wrap it up here for our first big segment. Yeah. That was it for Sergio Romo. Very good. Hey, we've got a great show for you coming up. There's so many people coming on. You're going to enjoy it for the next couple hours or so. Henry Schulman will be with us, Bruce Jenkins, Kerry Crowley, you know, the usuals. Jeff Idelson and Gene Fruth from Grassroots Baseball, Mark Sanchez, and the great Ken Korak from the A's is going to talk a lot of what's ahead for them. And then, of course, it's always a pleasure to have Mark A. Simon says. So, and Raph's got a greatest game brought to us by Georgie Brothers, too. All right, we're going to sit back, relax, and enjoy Saturday night. Baseball is here. We asked for it. We're getting it. And let's just hope they take care of themselves. More coming up. KMBR 680 1045, the sports leader.
Talking baseball with Marty Lurie on KMBR 1045 and 680, the sports leader.